All right, thank you for being back here in your place tonight. It was a crazy morning, wasn't it? And it was tremendous at the same time. And I want to thank you for all that you did in helping with Friend Day. And we always said we can't wait till we get into our auditorium. We can have Friend Day and we all fit. Well, that wasn't the case, was it? It was packed. And we put every chair we owned in this that we could fit in here. And we had 100 people that were outside of here that were still part of this service. Some of them were live streaming in the two rooms over here, and there was a couple that were helping with the PA, so that was great too. So thank you for so much, and you say, I invited some people and they didn't come, but God just wants us to plant the seed, because you plant the seed, you see there's a lot of people who will respond. It was very, very exciting. We had a good handful of adults in here this morning during the invitation that raised their hand for salvation and were dealt with. And then that happened in some of the Sunday school classes and so forth. It was nice. This is the first year I wasn't teaching a Sunday school class. And so I was able to go around to all the different Sunday school classes and just peek my head in and see who had the best food. But just see what was going on. And every classroom was full. It was just very, very exciting. It's good to have enough room to have it so not everybody's outside, except for the children still meeting outside. But we're working on that. I just encourage you a couple things. If you could just help us on Tuesday night, we'd like to go by, drop off a gift to our guest. And so if you could help us with that coming our Tuesday night, it's reaching unashamedly, but we're not doing any training. And come help your teacher with that. And then I just encourage you, contact your friends. A lot of good responses from the folks that were visitors as I met them coming in and I met them going out and hanging, and they were hanging around here. And so let's make sure that we contact our friends and thank them for coming and encourage them to get back. I heard many say that they wanted to come back and visit. But all in all, thank you so much. The reason we do things like that is the song Miss Karina sang. There is hope, but hope is only in Jesus Christ. Remember, the first Sunday of our Monterey Park church that we started on our opening Sunday, Miss Karina sang that song. And there's not a more appropriate song for what we do. People have to have hope, and you're not going to get it in this world. It only comes through Jesus Christ. And so thank you for that. I won't be long tonight. And if you could stay for a few minutes afterwards, it won't be long. Help your Sunday school teachers write a postcard. The reason we have you write a postcard, there's only like 5 lines on there. So, you want to write a letter, you get a big sheet of paper. It's like, that's a lot of writing. A postcard? Very easy. You just write a few lines. Thank them for being here. That will be great. We've been talking about separation and victory through separation and how God wants us to live a victorious Christian life and really how that happens as we grow in our faith and we start to incorporate the Word of God into our lives and the changes it makes in our life. And by the way, it's for the good. Some people look at what we call separation. They look at it as something bad. I'm giving up this, and I'm giving up all this fun and all that stuff like that. No, we're not giving up fun. As we are obedient to the Word of God, the things in our life that cause misery, the things in our life that cause issues in our life, we're separating from them. And it brings actually joy if we understand it. We've looked at several things so far, and I'm not going to go through them again. The messages are online. We often, as we get into tonight's message, we get confused about who we are and where we have come from. We all have an identity, okay? When we had our singles retreat, the theme was identity, and we're trying to get their identity in Christ. You know, you have an identity in your gender. You know that, right? You're either a guy or a girl. There's no in-between, and there's no transition, okay? You're either one of those two. And you say, well, how do I figure that out? Well, when you're born, if your parents gave you blue stuff, you're a boy. If they gave you pink stuff, you're a girl. If they gave you purple stuff, you're in trouble, all right? Sometimes we get our identity in our nationality. And there's nothing wrong. Nationalities are different. But we get our identity in that. We get our identity in our country. And by the way, I love our country. And it disgusts me what is going on in our country, trying to divide people, trying to keep people down. I love our country because it's the freest country on earth, by the way. There's a reason people are trying to beat down our borders to get in, because it's a better place. But we identify in our careers, you know. Usually you go to talk to somebody, and how are you doing? What's your name? You know, I mean, you know, like, oh, so what do you do for a living? Okay? We identify in our family. Some people identify in their hobbies. The point is this. If we're saved, our identity ought to be as Christians. Our identity ought to be in Jesus Christ. Yes, all these other things are a part of who we are, but the core of who we are is the fact that we're saved, is the fact that we know Jesus Christ and we are in his family. The old song is still true. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. What ought to identify us is the fact that we're Christians and this world is not our home. We are pilgrims on this earth and our real home is in heaven. We looked at two texts. Now, the first text we read was the text from last week, and I'll tie that in a minute. But we read the text in Hebrews about Moses. And what helped Moses move out of being Pharaoh's, in part of Pharaoh's adopted family and all the benefits that came with that to identify with God's people is because he understood the eternal kingdom was more important than the temporal kingdom in which he could have been very, very successful. And because he understood that, he made some decisions about avoiding this temporal kingdom's influence, its direction, and its activities. Look at verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is introduction, and we'll give a few points, and we'll be done. Moses, when it came to this choosing this temporal world, the eternal world over the kingdom, had to do some things. Look at verse 24. It says that Moses refused. Verse 24 says, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and some historians tell us that he may have been the next Pharaoh. I don't know about that. Maybe it's true. But what he did is he chose to refuse, once he realized who he was and God's work in his life, he refused the benefits of who he was in this world because he did not live for this world. He refused them. And if we're going to be what we're supposed to be for the Lord, we have to do some refusing in our life as well. And then we see in verse 25 that he chose, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, being where he was in the kingdom gave him a lot of opportunities to really do whatever he wanted, to have whatever he wanted. To live in a way that he would want to live without any, to a real extent, any restraints. But he didn't just choose not to have that in his life. He chose something that would not only not give him benefits, but would cause him anguish, would cause him pain. You know, we sometimes want people to say, and it's true, don't get me wrong, you know, we're gonna choose to live for Christ over our old life because it's just better, and it is better. But he was going to be persecuted for it. He was going to be chased down for it, and he knew it. And he was still able to make that choice because he valued the eternal over the temporal. In verse 26, we see that he evaluated, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Not only did he willingly choose it, he realized in the long run, in the whole scope of eternity, it was better. Now, by the way, you're not going to notice this down on the earth. You have to realize this in your mind. He was going to go through some things. You know, it's funny, the problems he had with the people in Egypt, and then he gets the people out of Egypt, and he has to deal with them. But he esteemed it. He understood in his mind that was much better than anything good he could have got, and he could have got a lot of good by remaining in Egypt, which led him to verse 27 that he forsook. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It just led him to say, I'm out of here. Now, he had to leave for other reasons as well. But He forsook physically because he had already forsaken it mentally and spiritually. He had to make a decision. And by the way, it's a decision all of us need to make. We can live for one of two worlds. We can live for this world, or we can live for the next world. And sometimes, as with Moses, this world seems a lot better, but in the long run, it's not. And even if it is more comfortable, it's not right. And even if it is more comfortable, when you get to eternity, it is definitely not going to be more rewarding. That's what Moses did. Now, tying that in with Psalm chapter 1, last week we saw the three influences that we are not to allow in our life. And I'm not going to go through them again except just to mention them. We are not to choose the direction of our life based on the advice of those who are unspiritual. And we looked at that. We are not to hang out with those whose lives and manner of living is in sinful disobedience to God's command. And we often do that. And we are not to allow ourselves to remain around or listen to those who are scornful or critical of spiritualities. You see, because these are the types of influences, let's tie it all together here. These are the types of influences that would cause us not to choose the eternal over the temporal. You know, when we had our building offering in June, it makes no sense on this earth to give money towards something like this. But it makes a great deal of sense if you're looking at things from the scope of eternity. And that's how we're supposed to see it. What world are we living for? So here's the message for tonight. The influences we talked about last week are all of this world. And it's sad when Christians who ought to know better live, act, and think exactly like the world and make decisions just as the world make, because they're so caught up in what's going on in this life, they have no regard whatsoever about what's going to take place in the next life. The world, when I say world, I'm not talking about this spear. It's not flat, by the way. Okay, it amazes me, the stupidity that comes, you know, that you can change your gender and that the world is flat. Where do these things come from? I mean, we figured that out a real long time ago. But when I'm talking about the world, I kind of wish the world was flat, because there'd probably be a society on the other side. And maybe if we could get to that other side, it's much better and not as crazy as what's going on here. But it's not, it's round. When I'm talking about the world, I'm talking about the philosophies, the culture, the values of unsaved society, which drives their decisions and their desires. Because a person that doesn't know Jesus Christ is going to think and act like a person who does not know Jesus Christ. They're going to make decisions like a person who does not know Jesus Christ, who the Bible has very little influence on in their decision-making. That's what the world does. The problem is that most Christians are not much different than this world. The sad fact is most Christians have the same mindset. If you were to ask the average Christian, if you sat down, what's important to them, and you put recent current event type situation, how do you think, how do you make your decisions? Fact of the matter is, the majority of Christians, the way they do all that, the way they make their decisions, the way they view what's going on in this world, it would not be much different than an unsaved person. I've seen the different studies. We say we believe the Bible. We say that we believe in Jesus. We believe all that stuff. But when push comes to shove, we make our decisions the same way that a person who does not know Jesus Christ, because they're looking the same way. We're living the same way. But here's the problem. When you do that, someone who's a Christian is going to experience the same results that they would. We're going to run smack dab into the same problems that they would, but their problems are because they don't understand Scripture. They don't understand the Bible. And yet those of us that do know the Bible and we live that way, we're going to go headfirst into the same consequences that they would face. And here's the deal. We don't need to. We have to have our heads screwed on straight. We have to be spiritually minded. But why do we accept all this from the world? Because we have not rejected the world. We buy into the same world's values. Sadly, there are Christians that think, you know, if I just had enough money, I'd be happy. You know, money has never brought happiness. It hasn't. That may make it easier to pay your bills. It may mean you live in a little bit better place than you did before you had that stuff, but it doesn't make you happy. When it comes to finance, we've been all over the map. We've been to times when we was a struggle to pay our rent, and we've had times when the money's in the bank, it's ready to go. But can I just tell you something? It doesn't change how I view life. It doesn't change the joy I had. I jokingly was telling the home class, you know, when our first daughter was born, she just had a baby. When she was born, we didn't have any money to buy any stuff for the baby. So we just got I got a cardboard box. It was stable. And I put a pillow in it, and I got a nice sheet, and I tucked it in there so you couldn't tell it was a cardboard box. That was her first crib, okay? It didn't make me any less, I'm kind of like, hey, this is kind of cool. Save a lot of money here, you know? But it's like, you know what? I was just as happy. She slept just as well. Now, within a couple weeks, I was able to get her a crib. But we think we have to have all this stuff, and we're getting that from the world, by the way. We get caught up in all of it. Now, here's the deal. We have to willingly reject the philosophies of this world. We have to willingly reject the values of this world. We have to willingly reject being involved in the actions of this world. But if we don't do that and we're fully immersed in the world, here it is for tonight, it usually comes in steps. That's what I want us to look at tonight. We're going to look at the world. We need to make sure that we live in obedience and we live in separation because of the surroundings in which we live in, which is this world. All the philosophies. You know it as well as I do. You can't put a ball game on without trying to throw some false philosophy down your throat. You can't do any. You can't listen to something on the radio without somebody spitting out. I'm not listening to somebody spit out their philosophies. I don't want someone who the only reason he's financially solvent is because he has athletic skills telling me how to live. Especially when he beats his wife and he lives like a pagan. Just because you can throw a ball or make a basket doesn't mean you make you an authority on life. That's what they're trying to do. It's everywhere. So here's the step. How does a Christian end up fully immersed in the world? It happens in steps. You ready? The first step is this. We become a friend of the world. Friend of the world. Turn to James chapter 4 and verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. We'll have several verses we'll look at. James 4:4 says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore," this is pretty hardcore, "whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the what? Enemy of God." Why? Because the world is a complete opposite of God. How in the world can we be getting along with God? That's why some Christians are like, I just get along better with people who aren't Christians than those who are Christians. Let me just tell you something. That says more about you than Christians. If I don't get along with somebody because I have nothing in common with them. That didn't go well, but we'll be okay there. So, friendship. Unlike Moses, who rejected the things of the world, we start to get enamored with it, and we start to be drawn in with it. We become friends. When that happens, we start to like the things that we are hearing. We start to tap into what it has to offer. We understand this as kids, and we talked about it last year. You know, some people, they hang around. It's not good for them to hang around with somebody. Certain people are just bad influences. My parents would tell me, hey, don't hang around with Bobby. He's a bad influence. Well, they didn't realize I was the bad influence. But I was like, okay, I didn't like Bobby anyhow. But it's like, sometimes that's true, right? So be careful where your kids are educated. You can't be around people that don't love Jesus, know nothing about God, and are spitting out nothing but nonsense and not have that get on them. And then they come home, and they're like, well, what you're saying doesn't make sense. I know, because they're starting to buddy up with the other side. Be very careful. A friendship with the world. We start to develop a like for it. And he says, friendship of the world is enmity with God. That means hostility. Hostility. The two are totally, the values of the world and the values of Scripture are completely different. What we've tried to do with Christianity is just try to blend the two together, right? You know, come to our church, our values, we're interested in planting a tree. I'm not against planting the trees. I don't have time to plant trees. Planting trees isn't going to save this world. Well, let's go collect trash on the side of the freeway. There's convicts that can do that. That's why they wear the orange vest. Okay, not against them. God bless them. They're doing something. Let them do that. We're a church. We're supposed to have values that are a little bit bigger. A little bit bigger than that. These Bibles, they retranslate them and they mess them all up. They did this one for teenagers years ago, and they made it look like a magazine so they'd read the New Testament. And they had all these different, in the New Testament, which allegedly was supposed to be, they had all these stories. And they put the top 10 things you can do to help the world. Number one was plant a tree. Why? And by the way, I like trees. I like shade, right? How many of you like that? You go through a place and it's nice. I'm not against trees. I'm not spending my life planting trees. There's something better than that. Where do those values come from? I'm not against recycling. Okay, but I'm not going to spend my life doing it. We have, I don't know if I'm colored, but is it purple or blue? Is it purple, the trash can? Okay, it's purple. What's purple? It's a form of blue, if you're colorblind. Okay, that's it right there. I know what to throw in there, and I know what not to throw in there. I'm not going to spend my life on a tirade. Global warming, we get caught up in all this stuff. Hey, we're Christians. This is church. Our values ought to be about the spiritual things. Let other people do that. But when we're in the world, these things become important. We start following their lifestyles. And we start to become friendly with it. And once you get friendly with that which is not godly or that which is not Christian, you move to the next step. You're spotted by the world. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. I can help you. If you're in James chapter 4, go back 3 chapters, you're there, okay? You probably closed your Bibles. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted by the world. This is where we're allowing the wrong influences, whether by peers, whether by hanging out. We allow that in our life, and then part of it starts to stick. Right? It just starts to stick. Try running through the mud without getting mud spots on you. It starts to stick. It's a slow process. Now, here and there, little things are sticking. Little things are taking place. Little things in the world, I'm not just friendly towards it now, it's starting to become a part of my life. It's working its way into my actions. It's working its way into my attitudes. It's working its way into my thoughts of thinking. And little areas of my life are now starting to be hit. Be very, very careful. It started with friendship. But now that you've allowed the friendship, now you're becoming like the friendship there. It happens a little bit at a time, seemingly unnoticed. Somebody starts to have a train wreck in their faith. It doesn't happen overnight. We like to think that, right? Well, somebody fell into sin. They didn't fall into sin. There was a slow, steady process that took place. Look at any spouse who's ever cheated on their spouse. It happened one extra look at a time, one inappropriate text at a time, one moment at a time, slowly but surely. You look at a child that starts to drift away from their family as they get with the wrong kind of people and they start to reject their faith. A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. We drift from God because we are changing in our lives. And by the way, and we blame everybody else. Well, I just don't enjoy church anymore. Well, neither would I. Church is for spirituality. Church is for spiritual people. Look, if you gave me free tickets to my son-in-law took me to a football game. I thought it was a Charger home game. It ended up being a Raider home game. But we went. I enjoyed it. You know why? Because I like football. Now, he says, let's go to a soccer game. I'm like, I'll go. but I'll probably spend a lot of time at the snack bar. By the way, I don't like those little horns they have. I understand if you're Hispanic, that's the real football, but you really need to get a life. By the way, they're probably the most fit athletes in the world because they run around for an hour and a half doing nothing. They run down there, and all a guy has to do is kick it away, and it's like, hey, got to start all over again. Okay. I think they should tie the goalkeeper's hands, and I think they'd score a lot more goals, right? But it's not that soccer's not as good as football, although it's not. It's just that I don't like it, right? I don't have an appetite for it. If you said, hey, let's go to an opera. They don't even sing in English, do they? I don't like that. Okay, hey, let's go to the fish house. What are you, out of your mind? I don't like fish. Oh, but it's good. It's good for you, not me. I don't have an appetite for it. Let me just say this: church can be like that once you start getting spotted by the world. You don't have an appetite for it anymore. The song, by the way, I love our music. I thought it was great today. The choir was phenomenal this morning. All the specials, we had extra specials this morning. It was great. It was phenomenal. First class. I love all those songs. But, this type of music isn't going to mesh with rap music. To me, that's an oxymoron. Rap music, no such thing. You don't even have to be able to sing. I hate my mother, my dad is bad. That's not music. Some of you like that. Thank you. I'll get this. Anyhow, I don't know where we got in that area. I'm not going to sing "He Did It My Way" either. That's not good either. But that's the problem. We start to get spotted by the world, and then we see different Christianity differently. Well, why can't we do this? What's wrong with that? Do I really have to? Does God really demand these things? Then we get to the third part, which is worse. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. So we're friends of the world. Then we are spotted by the world. Then we have a love for the world. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. By the way, you see, the thing is, we might want to see what God thinks about it. Remember, like enmity, where it's hostile. God doesn't, and he says, if any man love the world, the what? The love, you can't love both. I can't love my wife and another woman. I just can't. I don't know why anybody would want to. It just doesn't make sense, right? It's one woman, that's it. And she's enough in a good way. But you can't divide your heart all over the place. You can't love the world and love God. You know, I think it was Charles Spurgeon that said, you can't love roses if you don't hate weeds. How can you love one thing and then be in on something that is totally opposed, critical, and hates that thing? If you're married and you're around and someone starts criticizing your spouse, you wouldn't just sit there and be quiet. You'd say, hey, don't be talking about her like that. Don't be talking about him like that. You'd stand up. Why? You love them. But when we're in the world, all we're going to hear in roundabout little ways are everything that just shoots at it. And so we've become so immersed in the world, we now love it. Isn't that why Demas forsook Paul? Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Love this present world. See, he started dabbling in it. And then he was a good man. He was following Paul and helping him, and it just got to the point where, you know what? This is just better. That's the love of the world. You get an emotional attachment to everything that's going on. Which leads to the next step. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Love for the world will eventually become a conformity to the world. conformity. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, once you've went through the process of becoming a friend, and then the world's starting to spot you, rubbing up on you, now you love the world, now you're going to become like it. By the way, it's all the same. It is. It's just the same stuff. Do your own thing. Believe a certain way. Don't say anything towards anybody else. You become shaped. The word conform means pressed into a mold. You know, everybody wants to be different. So somebody comes up with something new, you know. The thing is, and if you own a pair, God bless you, you know, the jeans with all the cuts in them. I'm like, man, if I'm buying a pair of pants, can I get the whole thing? If I want to rip it with a razor blade, I can do that myself. But, you know, somebody originally thought that was a good idea, and they did it, and someone bought it and said, that's lame. It's like, yeah, but I'm different. Now they're all different. You know, dyeing their hair some you know, yellow or whatever. I remember in junior high, and it wasn't normal when I was in junior high, and the first girls to dye their hair pink, and it's like, what's that? And then next thing you know, we're going to be different. And then guess what? Everybody's different now. Because once something starts, everybody's pressed into that mold. That's what the world's doing. I'm going to be just like that. And we get everything we do based on what the world's doing. It conforms us. And if you do not walk lockstep with it, you're an oddball. We see that in our country today. If you disagree with godless philosophies, you're canceled out. You're condemned. Or you're accused of being intolerant. You're not inclusive. Tolerant used to mean, if you want to do it, go ahead, but don't force me to do it. Now tolerance means I have to accept your view and your belief as equally valid to mine. That can't happen if you're a Christian. Churches are running all over the place to include the transgenderism and all that into their church service. You know, oh, we're inclusive. Yeah, the only thing you're not including is the scripture. The only thing you're not including is the truth of the word of God. And we don't hate anybody, by the way. And they always pick two or three things, right? Well, yeah, I know, I'm against adultery too. I'm against alcoholism, and I'm against drinking, not alcohol. I'm against drinking. That didn't go well, thanks. After today, I need a drink. I'll just be real honest with you. It was crazy this morning. I'm kidding. But, you know, you say that, it's like, it's like, no. We don't hate anybody. But I'm not going to just believe just because everybody else believes. And you be careful. We've talked about education, especially of our small children. You send them to a place that says, you have to believe this, you have to do that, you have to do that. They're conforming them. And they come home and say, let's go to church. They look at you like something's wrong. Be very careful. I don't want to just be like everybody else. I want to be the way God wants us to do. And sadly, the churches have just brought it in. We want to replace the music of God with the music of the world, and let's just change the words. It's still the music of the world. Okay? Look at how it makes people react. And it's about as shallow as an inch of water. You know? I looked at a tree. I thought about Jesus. That's silly. Or she's saying the same word over and over and over and over and over. And don't give me that. You know these praise teams, they're not dressing right. Well, that got really quiet. Guys aren't honest, by the way, ladies. They like the way that looks. We better move on. You got really quiet there. What happens if we follow all those steps? Well, we become just like the world. By the way, God wants the opposite. He wants us to be transformed, completely changed. Not just conforming, and I know, we say, oh, well, there's things Christians do, you know, certain beliefs and things, and people just conform to that. Well, we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. And if you're conformed to the image of Christ, you won't be conformed to the world. But we don't just want you to conform, because that's temporary. We want you to transform. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're taking the thoughts of the world out, and you're putting the thoughts of Scripture in. That becomes part of who you are, and it becomes a part of how you live, inside out. Then lastly is this. What happens when we do this? We end up being condemned like the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 32, it says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. He doesn't want us to be condemned with the world. But if we're living like the world and partaking in the sins and the views and the philosophies of the world, what's the natural outcome of that? Well, on this earth, we're going to suffer the same consequences. See, sin has consequences. Don't get us wrong. Now, if you're saved, the consequences of your sin eternally are paid for. Don't worry about that. But you still have consequences on this earth. And what a shame it is when a Christian partakes of the same consequences. Studies will tell you, and I know you can take the studies with a grain of salt because there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians in these studies who really aren't born again. But you look at their divorce rate, you look at their adultery rate, you look at all the bad markers of our society. If theirs are 70%, Christians are running just right below it. Very little difference. Why? We're just not different. If we are a Christian, we've bought in so much to what's going on there that we get ourselves in trouble. We need to be very, very careful. We talked about early on about watching our heart and setting up boundaries. Why? Boundaries are to keep bad influences from getting in. So what does it come down to? Here's what it comes down to. Whether or not we are living for this world or whether or not we're living for the next world. If we live for this world, we're going to reject the thing. If we're living for the next world, we're going to reject the things of this world. If we're living for the things of this world, we're going to neglect the things of the next world. Under President Ronald Reagan, there was a man named George Shultz. He would oversee all of the ambassadors for the United States. Whenever there was a new ambassador that was going to be sent out, he had to meet with Shultz. And they would spend their meeting, they'd go over everything and all whatever he had to go over. And he would end the meeting with this. He goes, now, go show me on the globe your country. And to a man, they would all go over, they'd spin the globe, and they would find that country they were going to, and they'd put their finger and say, that's my country. Shultz would walk over, he would spin the globe, and he would put his finger on America. He goes, no, that's your country. He goes, remember, you are not from the country that you are sent to. You are from the country you are sent from. Do you understand this world's not our home? Our country is heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We're ambassadors of Christ the King, and yet we get so caught up in what's going on down here, we forget that. And the world starts to bite at us, and we swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Say, how do I get a... Well, first, get in the Word of God. How are you going to know something's wrong? How are you going to be transformed? The Word of God. Don't buy into what's going on in this world. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a second, please, if we may. Let's stand together. I know it's been a long day. A lot of effort this morning, I get that, but let's think for a minute. Let's think for a minute. What are you more comfortable with in your life? Are you more comfortable with the things of this world, or are you more comfortable with the things of God? That right there is a clue to which direction you're going. And by the way, with all of these things, if you're saved, you know where you're at. And I'm not saying maybe you've swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, but are there some things in your life? Are there things of this world? And it could be all kinds of things that you start to buy into. Sometimes we have an over-obsession with everything in our life, with finances. You name it. Are you buying into this world? Maybe you're a Christian, you were close to God, now you're starting to kind of to fluctuate. Listen, we just need to put our roots down, make a commitment, and stick with it. We're not to be hateful. We're not to be vindictive at all. Because we love the world in the sense we love the people of this world. We want them all to know Jesus Christ. And we're not antagonistic towards any one person. Not at all. But we let the philosophies of the world come in through others. That's not their fault. That's ours. That's ours. Maybe you're allowing that. Maybe your spirituality is starting to cool. I would admonish you today to get back to your spiritual roots. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for a tremendous day that you've given us today. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would have the appetite for the things that you would want us to have an appetite for. Lord, we have to live in this world, but I pray you'd help us to be on guard that the world doesn't live in us. May we love you and love the things that you love and do the things that you would want us to do. Bless these folks now. We're so grateful for the effort that was put in for Friend Day and the many that came and those that were saved. I pray, Father, you'd be with our friends that came this morning and you would work in their hearts. Those that were saved, they'd be back, and Lord, we'd be able to work together. Bless now as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.